Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
I hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday wherever you are. We have a very interesting show today. We're going to be interviewing Bill McCracken in a moment. But first, we're just going to have a little bit of a background on it. Long before, I have to say that I've been that spiritual counselor for a good 40 years now. But, you know, I've had some diversity in my background as far as what I've done. I've owned a fashion store, restaurants, I've done quite a lot of different things, always using the tools in which I teach, but using them in different ways. And 6 years ago, a friend of mine, Bill McCracken, whom we had been chatting buddies for quite some time, I introduced to him electric bicycles that I was bringing back from Taiwan. And I asked him to have a look at it. And he had a look at it and said, great idea, wrong product. It's going to cost you too much, et cetera, et cetera. So it kind of dashed those dreams that I thought I had there. But he, in his next breath, then said, you know, I have an electric motor design. And I had absolutely no idea what he was saying in the next few minutes while he was describing this electric motor. But what I did have, a very, 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 very clear feeling of what I call no doubt. I understood that I had to be a part of this electric motor. I had to bring it up into development. I had to get it out there into the world. I didn't have to understand the technology. He did. I understood where he was coming from. I believed in his authenticity, his vision, his ability. And there was very, very clear understanding there that this was something I had to be a part of. Of course, totally nothing different to anything else I'd ever done. It's technology. Believe me, I'm technology challenged. But it was what the application and the implication of what the motor meant was something that I understood. And anything that kind of is recyclable, reusable, repairable, and that uses up to 80% less natural resources and, you know, it's scalable and adaptable and adoptable. You know, it had all those boxes that it ticked off. And so it was like, yes, I have to do this. So for the next 5 years, we proceeded in developing the electric motor. Got a lot of interest in it. People were quite blown away with the idea and what it could do. We actually drove this iPod, electric motor for an iPod, which kind of blew people's mind in that respect. But of course, then we had to go out there into the world and find those comparable partners. And I have to say that was a very interesting roller coaster. As I'm a study of human nature, and I am all about bringing out the truth in people and having them live in their authenticity and their true inner selves, embracing everything they are and not the illusion of what they want to be. I did find this world of finance and investors and venture capitalism and et cetera, to be extremely interesting and perhaps not necessarily in the happiest of ways. We took on some partners. We developed it a little further. It did not work with the partners. And then it was a question, okay, we need to take a little back seat here. We need to put the motor up on its proverbial shop window and wait for the right people, the people that understood what it meant, that wanted to get behind it, that knew how to further develop it, and the people that were believers. And not only believers, weren't afraid to put their hands in the pocket, speak to it, and go after it. So until we have such time somebody who is like that, it is in that proverbial shop window right now. If you are interested in it, you can go to cyclezone.com. That's cyclezone.com. A year ago, we decided to redirect. I went back into my business. Hence, the importance of you was reborn. My previous company was called The Art of Positive Living. And I went back to my sole purpose, which is awakening souls. And Bill started a fabulous company called The Diva Mindset. Are you a diva? Are you a dreamer, innovator, visionary, actualizer? And if you've got that kind of mindset, then you've got the entrepreneurial ability to be able to fulfill those dreams. But unfortunately, Bill then ran into an obstacle. And the obstacle was his back. When he was a child, water skiing with his brother, he had a very bad accident, and that accident broke his back. He was told at that time that he would never be able to walk again. Well, if you know anything about astrology, Chineseology, numbers, I'm sure, Michelle, he is a double ox, and you can't tell him what not to do. So he taught himself how to walk again. With that, of course, he taught himself how to run again and get onto downhill mountain biking and hit a couple more trees along the way. Consequently, years later, Bill's back is telling him enough is enough. And now he is actually walking around with a broken spine. And he is waiting, as wonderful medical system that we have in North America, 14 months to actually see a specialist. Before they can give him any treatment or do anything for him, he is having to wait 14 months and live with this broken back. If you've had the opportunity to read his article, which is on, I'm going to ask him to actually say what the site is.
smokinddawg.wordpress.com.
So that's smokinddawg.wordpress.com, and the article is on there. It is also on the importance of you under About Me. You scroll down, I have an entire article page there, and the article is written up there as well. And the reason I wanted to interview Bill today was, quite honestly, I'm in awe of his courage. I'm in awe of the ability, because I know the pain that he's in. I know the challenge that it takes for him to go anywhere or do anything, and the attitude that he has in dealing with it every day. And I think it is something that we've all got something we have to deal with, and it's the question of how we deal with it is what really kind of defines what kind of survival rate we're going to have with whatever ails us. So without any further ado, I'm going to throw this over here now and start interviewing Bill McCracken. Hi, Bill. How are you today?
Very good. And you?
I'm doing great. Could do with a little sunshine. Still waiting for some spring, but the sun is within us, right? So the article that you wrote the other day was just purely on the ability to get up, get dressed, and be able to go for a walk and do simple things like going to your local coffee bar. Perhaps you could tell people what you used to do, take 20 minutes to get there, how fast it used to be compared to how you are working with it now.
That walk would normally take about 15 minutes.
And now?
It's about an hour and...
How come it takes you so long now?
Well, maybe we should go back. For those of you who aren't really familiar with what happened, I'll just digress. In August of last year, I was working on both businesses. Sarah was setting up a new business. I was helping with her website. Then I was working on my own business, creating all the materials and websites, doing a bunch of marketing and stuff. And I decided to take a break from working. Went and joined a couple friends sitting at some chairs at Starbucks, I stood up, and to my amazement, and everybody else's amazement, and the restaurant at the time was as sound, probably about as loud as a crack of thunder, and I just thought, oh, okay, well, yeah, that's my back going out again, it's nothing major. I've got a lot of problems with my back that I've lived with for many years, and it's something that happens every couple of years, the muscles just like go up on a split, but, so I didn't think anything of it. Normally this would go away within a period of 3 to 4 weeks to maybe 2 months at the most. In this case, by the time middle of December, it got to a point where there's no way I could deal with it, with what was going on. I had to find out what I needed help. So I broke my own cardinal rule and I went and saw a doctor. And the reason I don't go to doctors is not a dig against doctors is doctors tend to treat symptoms rather than looking at causes. And in my case, when I went to the doctor, exactly the things I didn't want to see happen. First thing he says to me, you know, the back pain, go see a chiropractor, go see a physiotherapist, take these anti-inflammatories, take these painkillers, to which I firmly said, no, not until we figure out what's wrong. And he got a little bit out of sorts with my attitude. So he says, okay, fine. You want to do that? Here, I'll set you up and send you for an x-ray. 2 months later, I get the x-ray results back. I see another doctor at the clinic, and she goes, oh, are you seeing a physiotherapist? Are you seeing a chiropractor? I said, no. So, well, that's a good thing because you got a fractured L1 vertebrae, a fractured T1 vertebrae, you got scoliosis, you got this degenerative bone disease, and it looks like you got a bunch of discs that are screwed up. Let's get you in for a CT scan. CT scan I go out for, again, another month later. Middle of March this year, get the results back from that. Basically, everything from L1 to T5, all my discs are shot. And two of them are bulging and creating the pressure on my spine, which is what's causing the pain. So there's nothing she can do. She says, let's see, send you to a specialist. I say, cool, that's great. Puts in the appointment for the specialist. A couple weeks back, go back for a call back to see what's going on with the appointment. See the original doctor. They give me the information. I look at it, July 27th. I didn't realize at the time it was 2013. Oh, that's cool. It's only a couple of months. Now I find out, a couple of minutes after leaving the office, I look at the report now, and it says, oh, that's in 2013. So now, my life has changed so dramatically since this happened. I've gone from someone who was relatively in good shape, could do most things, to a person that, to walk 2 kilometers to the coffee shop, like I mentioned in the article, takes me about an hour to an hour and a half to do. I have a neuromuscular problem that is hereditary in my family that is now getting very pronounced, and it causes me to shake and have convulsions in public, because when my back contracts, causes everything in my body to contract. It's also causing me to use the use of my hands. Now, I work in business. I work on computers. I'm a computer programmer. I'm a graphic designer. My hands are useless. So now I get this wonderful new life ahead of me for the next 12 months. What am I going to do with my life? So I live life the best I can. I go and I meet people every day. I try to do the best things that I can for my back. And I constantly keep pushing that envelope physically rather than sitting back. Every day, it doesn't matter how sore I am when I get up in the morning, I get up and I go for that walk. Sometimes I can walk faster, other times I can't walk fast. But I have to do that every day just to make that day a success.
How much of this is willpower?
90% of it, easily.
And how much of this is actually attitude, a positive attitude?
Well, it's the same thing to me. My attitude's always positive. I'm not going to let it put, I don't let it keep me in bed. I do the best I can to overcome it. It's sort of like being, the way I look at it, it's like I'm training for a marathon. So every day I get up with that same agenda, get out there, do my stuff, do it as best I can, see if I make an improvement, try different ways of learning how to walk so I can walk more productively, find some ways of controlling the spasms and trying to get my hands working properly again so that I can function, because I can't wait 13 or 14 months to see a doctor and start this process over again.
I do know, in knowing you for 10 years, that you have an amazing spiritual ability to actually use your energy actually on yourself. I've seen you do this. He puts his hand over the dog, and the dog starts going crazy with the energy that's going in there. And I see you doing this with yourself all the time. Obviously, it can't repair the spine, but how much of that energy in using on yourself is actually helping you, and in what way?
Energy is all around everything. Okay. What happened with the accident is my internal balance went out. My energy level got totally knocked out because of all the things I was doing. And if I had taken care of my internal balance before I started the business, I probably wouldn't have thrown my back out. But because I got so out of balance with what's going on around me, the energy around me, it allows the human body sits in, surrounded by energy, and you are buoyant in it. You can't do anything, but you can feel it. At least certain people can feel it. And you can ride the energy. And when you're in total balance with that energy, pain, everything in your body totally dissipates. You can just float right through it. It's not a healing energy. It exists around everything in life. And all I can do is tap into that and use that energy to resync my body so that my body now is working naturally. When you get hurt, you no longer function properly. So So you have to take the energy that exists around you, and there's a rhythm to it, and your body syncs to that, and that will help calm you down and get your body back into feeling part of nature again. Once you're back in that balance, then you can move forward. And that's all I do. I just constantly practice that. So I work with the energy so that it comes back into my body, and then I train my brain to remake everything in my body that's not working in balance again. And that's the process.
So what you're doing at the present moment, kind of physically and using, you know, your spirituality, your emotion and everything else to kind of keep you into a flow, into a rhythm, is what we actually need to do within our spiritual self as well. Is that when we are actually living in alignment and living in wholeness and we're riding that wonderful wave, there is a wonderful sense there of kind of such peace and rhythm and harmony. That when we're riding that wave, it's that nothing else matters in the life. Everything else is, you know, is accomplishable. Everything is able to be achievable. So for you at the present moment, you know, where we have that, and maybe our options are obviously a lot bigger, for you it is entirely that ability to get up every day and reach your goal of getting to the coffee house.
No, getting to the coffee shop isn't the thing. It's getting home.
Getting home
is the big one.
Yes. Witnessing what Bill has gone through is that sometimes everything in his body contorts and it almost goes like snake-like, where he kind of literally does this weird movement that goes down and you think he's going to fall. And also there may be a sound that will come out of him and he has these shakes, which is rather like the Parkinson shakes. And it is uncomfortable for people because they don't quite know what to do for him. You know, should they aid him? Should they say something? Should they just be quiet? And it is something that people find very, very hard to deal with. Being in that position, what would you actually say to people when they actually witness something like this with someone? What would you like them to know? Because they want to address it, but they're not quite sure how.
The big thing with people that know me is most of them I've told, so they kind of accept it. People who don't know me, it's a little bit difficult. The best thing they can do is just come up and talk to me. I always approach people and say hi to them. If they turn around and ask me questions, then fine, that won't be discussed with them. As a person seeing somebody in that situation, if they make that approach to you, and they say hi, you know, stop, say hi, ask them.
Don't assume, ask.
Always ask. I have other problems. I have OCD, and it can make this even worse for me to deal with. But I have to tell people I have OCD so that they can see when I'm doing something. Like I could easily start right now, and some days I go walk 20 times because my OCD kicks in. It's like, oh, cool, I've just mastered this way of walking again. So I'll go and do it, and I'll repeat it over and over and over again and overexert myself. So you, as a person who has an ability or a special gift or ability like this, you have to be responsible to share that knowledge with other people and teach them how to identify what's happening with you.
And taking away the stigma. I mean, you know, we see this. I will be interviewing somebody on autism next month. And it's the same thing. It's because these people are reacting in a different way to what we think is the norm, people get uncomfortable with it. And it's like, ask. You know, nobody's going to be offended. They would rather that you understand their situation, you know, why, what is happening to them, because it's an education for you. It's also an encouragement for them, and it's a sharing of courage and of camaraderie. So it's, don't be afraid to ask. Similarly, if you are a person that is in any situation that is challenging you, do not at any point feel embarrassed about it. Stuff happens. We all fall into a situation somewhere in our life where we are challenged. Look upon it as being an education for people that you can share, and look upon it as an invitation for people to come along and help you, whether it be physical, emotionally, spiritually, energetically. By sharing, you are helping that situation become a little more diffused, and by inviting that positive energy in. So don't be afraid if you see people going through something. Ask them, share. Get educated on it, and find within that something that inspires you within you to overcome something yourself. We've still got a few minutes open for calls, so if you're calling from the U.S., it's 917-889-3818. If you're calling from the west of Canada, the number that works well is 1-877-296-0345. And we're open to taking any calls. How have you found this as effective? Because I know you're a blueprinter. For people to understand what a blueprinter is that Bill has the ability to see an innovation and be able to take it to a level of the blueprint for someone to come along and construct and build. And because of your OCD, you have the ability to be able to see things from so many different sides, so many dimensions, so many different levels all at once that really you're like a 3D blueprinter. And I know that for you, your head is always being creative. You are always out there, you know, innovating. How have you actually found that because your energy has been so used up by this at the present moment, that it's affecting your own innovation?
It doesn't, though. Because innovation is innovation. Finding you don't have to create a new space station to be innovative. Creating a new way to walk or looking at a way, trying to understand the mechanics of things like we were going to talk about pain. Like, pain is something that's really cool because it's something that I've lived with it throughout my life, and it's sort of like that really seductive mistress I live with all the time. And when you really when you look at challenges and one of the challenges of dealing with pain, when you look at it as a dance, your body tells you that something's wrong when you're in pain. And there are movements that you can do in your body. When it gets excessively painful, then you don't do them. When you take drugs to block pain, you actually lose the ability to deal with healing properly. You'll do more damage taking pain relief instead of understanding that dance that happens with pain. Pain is your body's way of saying, look, you've done something. Work within the confinements of the pain. Don't look at it as, well, I have to be able to be super productive right now. Your body's telling you that. You have to slow down.
Listen to your body level.
Yeah, when you master dealing with pain, you can do anything you want, without having to be heavily medicated. There are situations where, yes, even I have taken medications for it, but for the most part, listen to your body. Because I can tell you one thing, listen to your body, because you'll do more damage by taking medication for the simple reason to get rid of the pain. Pain is a symptom, it's not a cause. Pain is something that can be easily treated with drugs because you can put pain inhibitors in your body. Once that happens, now your body has no idea of telling you that
what
you've just done more damage.
What your boundaries are.
I actually broke a couple of toes. I was taking some medication for a couple of weeks there because it was excruciating. And it dulled my ability to do the dance with pain, that I started pushing the envelope and saying, oh, yeah, I'm actually a little bit more fearless and I can do these things. Without realizing that I've broken two toes. And this is something that's repeated throughout my life. I've done it so many times now.
So really what we're needing to learn from this is that really, you know, when I talk about living from the inside out and tuning into knowing who you are and how you want to live your life and in alignment, it comes to the same thing as listening to our body. We need to listen. I have fibromyalgia. I work for it most of the time. I don't let it affect me, but there are days where its volume is louder than I can switch off. And it's really telling me at that time, rest. And it's time to stop. It is time to rest. It is time to do whatever you need to do to calm me down and to let the body have a chance to replenish itself. And by masking it with the drugs, we're not hearing our own body speaking to us. I mean, there are so many other techniques, EFT, which is I'm going to be interviewing somebody at the end of the month on that, which is emotional freedom technique. There is yoga, there is Tai Chi, there is the power of positive thinking, there is the energy healing. There are so many other ways that we can help our body overcome without rushing to the drugs. I do understand that there are times that you need to pop a pill because you're screaming. But EFT is a great one of bringing that down in actual fact. And so this is where I think your energy, when I see you working with your hands and your hands moving, is a way of maybe bringing down your volume on the pain.
to a certain extent, most of it's just riding the energy around me.
So clearly, if you're riding the energy, you want to be amongst people that are in positive energy, because we don't want to pick up any negative energy around that. And I think at times like this, just make sure that you're actually around those people that are understanding, that are compassionate, that are people that are there that are going to be supportive for you. They may not be physically in anything that they can do for you physically, but just being there positively supportive for you, you know, giving you that energy is something that you can work with, that we can all work with. It is important to put ourselves around people that care, that give a damn. And for people to understand that when people are in a situation of ill health or challenges, that sometimes just being there for them, making them laugh, taking the piss out of them, you know, just doing something to kind of cheer up their day is something that you are giving them that is massively beneficial. And it's not to avoid them or hide because you don't know what to say. Get out there and do something for them, even if it just makes them smile, makes them laugh, you know, picking up some groceries for them, whatever it needs to be done. But just give people that care, and in that care, you're giving them that positive energy in which to work with. Now, it doesn't look like we've got any calls that have come through here today, so we've got a couple minutes left. So in that couple of minutes, what is the very big message that you would like people to understand?
The way I look at life, I'm thankful that I've been given these challenges, because these challenges have made me the man I am. And I respect, I hold no bad feelings towards this. I don't feel I've been persecuted, and you know, I don't ever have the why this happened to me.
Why me, yeah.
Because as bad as things are for me and as difficult as things are for me, I know people that live in the community around me who are a hell of a lot worse off than me, so I'm always thankful for what I've got. Not what I don't have, not what I want, that I can't have. But what I have a great life surrounded by great people. And I will survive. And I will overcome these adversities to fulfill my lifelong objectives. I don't know what they are anymore because they keep changing. But I know that somewhere out there, I will live and fulfill what I'm supposed to do with my life.
And I think it's also being flexible on, like, you know, you are the designer, you are this business builder, you know, you're CEO, CFO. I mean, you've had many, many accomplishments in your life. And that at the present moment, your accomplishment is really, quite honestly, getting through the day. You know, the intellectualism and everything is still there, but the physicality to back it up at the moment. And it's, you know, we have to look at what our abilities are, not in our intellectualism or our abilities to do, but our abilities of what we can do within the restraints of our challenge. And, you know, I know for you that getting up to Starbucks and getting home is something that is, you know, well done, I've done it. I've got home, survived, and didn't collapse along the way. And you did it in an hour today instead of an hour and a half. Small achievements, which are massive within the perspective of where you are living. So the message is to keep positive, to be grateful, to ride the energy, to believe in your own ability to overcome, to never give up and never give in, and to know that you can achieve. You will survive, and this too you will overcome. We have about a minute left, and 1 minute. Give me your last parting words over to people.
I just want to hear everybody for coming and listening to my story today, and invite you all to visit a new blog that I set up. As I mentioned earlier, the blog address is smokindawg.wordpress.com, and I've dedicated that. I'm going to be posting articles about some of the great people that have come through my lives and my own life story of how I'm dealing with this. And what you don't know, this is the third time I've actually broken my back in my life. So this is no new thing. This is
just a little bit of a heavier challenge this time around.
Yeah, there's a lot more things wrong this time.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, Bill. I hope that it's inspired a few people to find that courage and that energy and that ability within themselves to overcome. Because we can, we will, allow the support to come in from other people. Care about yourself and others will care about you. Next week, we have Bonnie Gale. We're talking about sex better, and we are talking about embracing our sensuality. And that's not just in sexuality, but the sensuality of life. I thank you all very, very much, and I wish you a wonderful week. Ciao for now.